worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalm, Psalm 136, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. All of Psalm 136. Father, we thank you for your wonderful and powerful and grace-filled and joy-filled and mercy-filled word. Thank you for the fact that your word is truth, and truth is that which sets us free. Truth is that which empowers us, guides us, comforts us, encourages us. Father, more and more, we thank you and praise you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love, and your loving kindness. More and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us more and more to walk in the wisdom and the counsel of your word, day by day, moment by moment. We thank you and we praise you. Just flood every listener with your mercy, grace, and peace mightily today. Thank you, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of thanksgiving, praise, and worship today. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Just a reminder to you, I want to remind you that the movie In His Image is available, and we're encouraging you, if you haven't seen it already, take the time to go and watch it. It's inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. The full title is In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. And it is a critical and very important message that's made to help equip the church to help answer culturally tough questions about gender and sexuality from a Bible point of view. In His Image is a feature-length documentary that presents greatly needed truth with compassion, clarity, through powerful personal testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence. Hope you'll take the time to watch it. Again, to watch it for free, go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. Let me remind you also, too, if you'd like to partner with us and receive a special edition DVD of In His Image, you can do that. Help us to spread this powerful message by donating a gift of any amount and receive the two-disc In His Image DVD set. You can share the feature-length documentary with your friends and family and explore over 3 hours of special features on Disc 2 that include deleted scenes, extended interviews, and biblical answers to commonly asked questions. Your gift helps AFA share the redemptive hope of the gospel presented in the movie In His Image. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Today we're looking at scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And so we'll be looking in the Word of God as well as sharing insightful thoughts and messages related to the wonderful opportunity we as God's people have to live a life of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We look now here specifically, continuing the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. all of Psalm 107. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many ways that your word helps us to better understand all of life, all truth, and help us to come to better know and understand more about you and how we can know you, walk with you, and serve you. More and more empower us to be a people that grow in our understanding of how vitally important it is for us to open your word every day and spend time with you as you speak words of wisdom, guidance, and grace, as you teach us, as you mold us and shape us in the disciples you want us to be. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we share scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I'm going to share briefly from portions, excerpts from a book entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart, written by Nancy Lee DeMoss. By today's standards, she should have been an unhappy, troubled woman. Her father died when she was quite young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years would have given most people more than enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity, bitterness, and psychological disorders. Yet in her autobiography, Frances Jane Crosby, better known as Fanny Crosby, wrote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation." The doctor who accidentally destroyed her sight never forgave himself and moved from the area, but there was no room in Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment. She wrote, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind." The blindness that many would have considered at best an accident, and at worst a curse, was considered by Fanny to be one of her greatest blessings. She accepted her blindness as a gift from God. "I could not have written thousands of hymns," she said, "if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented by my notice." Fanny's first poem, written when she was 8 years old, reflects the perspective that was hers until her death at the age of 95. Her 8-year-old's poem simply said, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh, because I'm blind, I cannot nor I won't." For over a century, the church has reaped the rich benefits of one woman's thankful heart as we sing songs that she wrote, including "To God Be the Glory," "Blessed Assurance," "Redeemed," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," and many, many others of the 8,000 songs that Fanny Crosby wrote in her lifetime. In a world that has forgotten in many ways how to be grateful, the example of this beloved blind hymn writer seems extraordinary, if not downright odd. But oh, what a price we pay for our personal and collective ingratitude. After more than 2 decades of ministry to hurting people, I've come to believe that a failure to give thanks is at the heart of much, if not most, of the sense of gloom, despair, and despondency that is so pervasive even among believers today. Furthermore, many of the sins that are plaguing and devastating our society can be traced back to the oft undetected root of unthankfulness. The attitude of gratitude is something that desperately needs to be cultivated in our hearts, our homes, and our society. Its presence brings in its train a host of other blessings, while its absence has profound, lethal repercussions. Consider with me some of the contrast between a grateful heart and an ungrateful heart. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and at present we're sharing insights and excerpts from the book The Attitude of Gratitude by Nancy Lee DeMoss. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
The music of Judith McAllister. Oh, give thanks. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're continuing to share scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving praise and worship. Thanks for listening in. At present, we're sharing from a book entitled The Attitude of Gratitude by Nancy Lee DeMoss. The attitude of gratitude is something that desperately needs to be cultivated in our hearts, our homes, and our society. Its presence brings in its train a host of other blessings, while its absence has profound lethal repercussions. Consider with me some of the contrast between a grateful heart and an ungrateful heart. A grateful person is a humble person, while ingratitude reveals a proud heart. The grateful person feels a great sense of unworthiness. I have so much more than I deserve. But an ungrateful person feels, I deserve so much more than I have. I can still remember hearing my father respond when asked how he was doing. Better than I deserve. He had a grateful heart. You see, he never forgot the waywardness and rebellion that had characterized the first 25 years of his life prior to his conversion. It never ceased to amaze him that God had saved him, and he always felt an enormous sense of unworthiness and gratitude for even the least of God's favor. I've always been impressed by the grateful spirit of Ruth the Moabitess. Widowed after less than a decade of marriage, an impoverished stranger in a foreign land, and condemned to live with her embittered mother-in-law, Ruth seeks a way to support herself and Naomi. When she is discovered by Boaz, who extends to her the right to glean in his field, she falls all over herself trying to express gratitude for his gracious gesture. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in your eyes that you should take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. I have the feeling that under similar circumstances, I might have been more likely to think or even say to others, it's the least he could do. But the humility of this young widow is seen in her responsive gratitude to the least little kindness shown her by another. Henry Ward Beecher said it well. Pride slays thanksgiving, but an humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. A grateful heart is conscious of God and others, while an ungrateful person is self-conscious and self-centered. Grateful people think and talk about others, but ungrateful people tend to focus on my needs, my feelings, my hurts, my desires, how I've been treated, neglected, failed, or wounded. An unthankful person is full of himself or herself. His or her whole world revolves around themselves. That person seldom pauses to consider the needs and feelings of others. As a result of this preoccupation with self, ungrateful people are typically grasping, demanding people, while grateful people are free to be giving and caring. Grateful people are loving people who seek to gratify and bless others, while ungrateful people are bent on gratifying themselves. One of the most common end results of ingratitude is the sin of moral impurity. The man or woman who is not thankful for the way God has met his needs easily begins to falsely accuse and find fault with our good God. In rejecting the provision God has already made, the ungrateful person is only one step away from seeking to get his needs met in illegitimate ways. A grateful heart is a full heart, while an unthankful heart is an empty one. No matter how little he may actually have compared to others, a grateful person enjoys a sense of fullness. No matter how much a person may, in fact, have, if he is not a thankful person, he will live with a gnawing sense of emptiness. I picture an unthankful heart as being something like a container with a hole in it that causes all its blessings to leak out. The grateful person has unlimited capacity to truly enjoy God's blessings, while the ungrateful person can't enjoy the blessings that he or she does have. The Apostle Paul provides us with a powerful illustration of this principle. The book of Philippians is really a rather lengthy thank you note written to express gratitude for what the believers in Philippi had done to minister to Paul's material needs while he was traveling and planting churches. Moreover, this is Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Again, Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16. Having expressed his heartfelt appreciation for their most recent gift, Paul, writing from the bowels of a Roman prison and deprived of all but the least, deprived of all but the barest of necessities, makes a remarkable statement. I have all and abound. I am full. Philippians 4, verse 18. Who but a very grateful person could have assessed his incarcerated condition with those words? If we are honest, I think most of us would have to say that our correspondence in such a situation would certainly have included a litany of the sacrifices we were making, the price we were paying to serve the Lord, and the creature comforts we were lacking, and the physical and emotional needs we were facing. But not Paul. From a heart overflowing with gratitude, he cries out, I have all and abound. I am full. In fact, so abounding does he believe God's goodness to be that he proceeds to reassure his readers that there is more than enough for them as well. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. People with grateful hearts are easily contented, while ungrateful people are subject to bitterness and discontent. Years of counseling with people who are chronically unhappy, depressed, frustrated, and emotionally unstable have convinced me that these disorders often stem from an unthankful heart, regardless of any external circumstances that may appear to provide an explanation. An ungrateful person holds tightly to his rights and sets himself up for hurt and disappointment when God or others fail to perform according to that person's expectations. But the individual who has yielded all his rights to God sees all of life through thankful eyes and has no room in his heart for selfish, destructive emotions. Great saints of the past sang in unison on this point. A.W. Tozer observed, Thanksgiving has great curative power. The heart that is constantly overflowing with gratitude will be safe from those attacks of resentfulness and gloom that bother so many religious persons. In his commentary on the book of Matthew, Matthew Henry wrote, Thanksgiving is a proper answer to dark and disquieting thoughts, and may be an effectual means to silence them. Songs of praise are sovereign cordials to drooping souls and will help to cure melancholy. When we have no other answer to the suggestions of grief and fear, we may have recourse to this. I thank thee, O Father. John Henry Jowett put it this way, gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic. Another preacher expanded the analogy. Gratitude can be a vaccine that can prevent the invasion of a disgruntled attitude. As antitoxins prevent the disastrous effects of certain poisons and diseases, thanksgiving destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. When trouble has smitten us, a spirit of thanksgiving is a soothing antiseptic. Friedrich Ruckert said it succinctly, Wouldst thou first pause to thank thy God for every pleasure, for mourning over griefs, thou wouldst not find the leisure. A grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by thankful words, while an unthankful heart will manifest itself in murmuring and complaining. A grateful spirit is what enables people to view and respond to the most painful circumstances in life with thanksgiving. As one person observed, some people complain because God puts thorns on roses, while others praise him for putting roses among thorns. Again, thankful believers from the past have much to teach us in this matter. Matthew Henry, the well-known commentator of the 19th century, was once accosted by robbers Reflecting on the experience, he wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Again, excerpts from a book written by Nancy Lee DeMoss, the book entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're specifically sharing scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Looking now in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Then looking in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Again, verses 4 through 20, Philippians chapter 4. Again, we continue to share scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Looking now in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We'll be right back.
The day.
Music from Elevation Church. Grateful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're continuing to share scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving praise and worship. We continue now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, picking up now at verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Again, sharing verses 12 to 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, a very well-known, perhaps possibly one of, if not the best-known scripture in all of the Word of God, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. End of Psalm 23. Now sharing a reading, a touching reading that very thought-provoking, entitled God Lives Under the Bed. I envy Kevin. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. Kevin was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped to listen. Are you there, God? He said. Where are you? Oh, I see, under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement, but that night something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. Kevin was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2", there are few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he is different. If he is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? I wonder. Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, return to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme is laundry, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine, like a mother with her newborn child. Kevin doesn't seem dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for his next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day that my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. Kevin doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. Kevin will never know the entanglements of wealth or power. He does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. Kevin's hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as when he is working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He does not shrink from a job when it is begun, and he does not leave a job until it is finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. He's not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes everyone tells the truth. Promises must be kept. And when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he is hurt, angry, or sorry. He's always transparent, always sincere, and Kevin trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that is difficult for a quote-unquote educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustrations with my Christianity, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then that I am most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then I realize that perhaps he is not the one with the handicap. I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not trust them to God's care. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he has spent his whole life in that kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day, when the mysteries of heaven are opened, and we are all amazed at how close God really is to our hearts, I'll realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. Again, a touching reading, simply entitled, God Lives Under the Bed. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're sharing scriptures and insights on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Now looking specifically at Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege, the honor, the blessing, the opportunity you give us every day to give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Father, you run our cups over every day in so, so many ways. And what a blessing it is that you help us by the power of your Spirit to recognize, Lord, that you really do run our cups over every day. Thank you for eternal life and health and strength. Thank you for the chance to know you, to be able to serve you. Thank you for the blessing and the gift of family and loved ones. Thank you for the chance to be servants and warriors in the kingdom of God, vessels through which you can reach to accomplish your eternal work. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being a part of the work that you're doing in the world, the spreading of the gospel, the making of disciples, loving a world that has been beat up and left on the roadside for dead. Father, more and more, help us to be a people full of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Help us to live that as a lifestyle, and help us also to live in such a way that not only do we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor with our mouth, but help us with our life to give ourselves afresh to you as a living sacrifice, vessels that you can use, recognizing that you've blessed us so tremendously and that we desire, in view of how we've been blessed, that we in turn want to be the blessing to the world you want us to be. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Psalm 145, beginning at verse 1. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. End of Psalm 145. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been sharing scriptures and insights, readings on thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Hope you've been blessed and encouraged. Our continuing encouragement to you is that if you don't have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is an excellent day to start that habit. It'll bless you and encourage you, strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, and help you as a disciple. And parents, I'd encourage you to have your children read 3 chapters out loud to you each and every day. It'll greatly bless them. My email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to receive some of the prayer resources or discipleship resources, we'd be glad to send them to you. Or the Evangelism Gospel Tract bookmarks. Again, just email us, send us your address. We'd be glad to send them. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.